Welcome to 2020, the era of innovation.
The Automation Alliance podcast, brought to you by RapidMation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Automation Alliance podcast. We're very excited to have a very special guest on the podcast today, Sydney Madison Prescott, who is the Global Intelligent Automation Lead at Spotify and recently a recipient of the 2020 Top 50 Tech Visionaries Award. In addition to her extremely successful and ambitious career, Sydney is also a prolific champion of women in technology. She's a founding member of CHIEF, a career network that connects and supports female leaders, and currently heads the East Coast chapter of Women in Tech in the US. Sydney's also spoken at multiple UiPath conferences and is spearheading the citizen developer adoption story across the globe. She's releasing her first co-author book, Robotic Process Automation Using UiPath Studio X, A Citizen Developer's Guide to Hyperautomation, in July of this year, and we cannot wait to get our hands on a copy of it. So Sydney, if I had more time, I could go on and on for your introduction, but honestly, what an absolute pleasure it is to have you to share your experiences on the Automation Alliance podcast. So welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that glowing introduction.
Yeah, I love creating these introductions for different people. And honestly, with yours, I could have gone on and on. And I'm just really excited for you to share some of your experiences with the listeners today. So maybe just to get started, for those who may not know you, could you take the listeners on a whirlwind trip of your career so far and how you managed to get started in the world of intelligent automation?
Absolutely. So I started my career as, interestingly enough, as an intern. This was years ago, and this was specific to working within specifically asset management. And so within my role there, I learned all about the nuances of everything from project management to global initiatives. I learned a lot about data management and a lot also about legacy systems. And that foray into technology as an intern is really what melded me and motivated me to continue to pursue a career in technology after college. So I started out basically within that internship, really, and that was within the financial services industry. And from there, I delved into project management. Again, that was within a financial services company. And I was able to create and manage a global data governance program. And that really encapsulated understanding the nuances of the data manipulation between the various systems within the environment. And within that role, I really excelled and I had an opportunity to run a proof of concept for intelligent automation. And I will say with that, the journey really began. It was a proof of concept to really test the waters. And this was pretty early on in relation to the adoption of robotic process automation, which is one component of intelligent automation. Within that POC, I was tasked with understanding what is robotic process automation, what are some of the major vendor tools that are in the ecosystem, and to vet a few potential use cases to see if the company wanted to actually launch an enterprise-wide program. So that POC was very successful. And with that, I made a recommendation to the CTO of the company to move forward with creating the company's first global intelligent automation center of excellence. That was at First Data, which is now Fiserv. And as a result of that, that really kickstarted my journey into intelligent automation. And from there, I have been predominantly in financial services. I was a vice president at Bank of New York Mellon. I also worked for some time standing up the first center of excellence at E-Trade, which is now, I believe, a part of JP Morgan Chase. And then that foray led me over into Spotify, where now I am heading up maturing out two different verticals within the COE, the citizen developer side, and then also the COE developed robots with our skilled kind of developers by trade.
How exciting, right? What an amazing journey and what an amazing career so far. And we're going to delve into kind of different parts of that journey very shortly. But just to get started, I mean, we mentioned the words intelligent automation quite a few times there as you shared your journey with us. And obviously many different people have different definitions of what intelligent automation actually is. So could you share with us, what do you define intelligent automation as?
Absolutely. So I define intelligent automation as a tool stack which facilitates a wide variety of automation of different business tasks. And that can be across any industry. We're seeing intelligent automation in the healthcare industry, in finance, in energy. So it's a very wide reaching tool and capabilities. And within that stack, it's typically defined as robotic process automation tools, machine learning, whether that's machine learning engines or a third-party vendor machine learning tool, typically OCR, optical character recognition, the ability to basically create machine-readable data from various formats. That is also usually a component. And then we start going further into the cognitive automation, which is where we start looking at artificial intelligence. And so typically when we think of intelligent automation, it is an amalgamation of several different tools, which together formulate an ability to address a wide variety of business problems and to automate those problems through either the use of one or more of those different tools within the tool stack.
Yeah, what a brilliant definition, right? And when we set up RapidMation a good few years back, we actually founded on those similar principles, right? So we looked at the automation space and we realized firstly that it wasn't just about these software bots, it was about how we involved humans in processes as well. It's really how humans and software bots can work together. And very quickly around that, as you say, you can inject those processes with various forms of artificial intelligence. That could be something like machine learning or maybe intelligent OCR capabilities, or even actually surface these processes through chatbots. And it's just really amazing to see how this intelligent automation space has kind of evolved over the last few years. And again, I always say it's never a dull day. There's always something new to tinker with and play with in the intelligent automation space.
Absolutely. It's expanding exponentially, especially coming in, as I would say, an early evangelist of the technology. It's quite astounding to see how quickly the industry has grown and the buzz around being able to really leverage these tools to provide some really significant return on investment for various corporations.
Yeah, definitely. So I actually first came across some of your incredible achievements when reading an article on the SSON. So for some of the listeners who might not know that, that's the Shared Services and Outsourcing Network. And last August, they had an article entitled Tips from the Woman Who Set Up E-Trade's First RPA COE and is now leading the charge at Spotify. And I love that interview, right? Because there was many nuggets of information that you kind of put across in that interview that really resonated with myself and what we here at RapidMation care about. So one of the questions that was posed to you was how to drive intelligent automation projects forward successfully. And you had two really great nuggets of kind of information in there. Would you mind sharing those with the listeners or any other advice that you might have in this area?
Yes, absolutely. So the first key is really making sure that you have a very definitive plan for how you want to execute the creation and scaling of your program. And to really make sure that you don't account for a significant amount of deliverables in year one, that really you focus on making sure that the foundational components of the program, such as governance, understanding your resourcing, making sure that you have a strong vendor partnership. Those fundamental elements are essential to being able to set up a worthwhile framework that will have a robust impact on the enterprise. And the second piece is ensuring that you define out what is going to be the return on investment. So looking at, again, that vendor partnership, are you going to hire external developers? Are you going to leverage a third party vendor to be able to provide some services for you? In terms of infrastructure, is your infrastructure set up and ready to be able to take on the building of an intelligent automation tool stack? And then also looking at what is the story of transformation that we are looking to tell to the members of our senior leadership by leveraging this technology. The best win that you can have is clearly defining the objectives that you want to reach as a result of bringing this technology into the environment, and having the ability to create a compelling story of, at the end of the day, digital transformation as a result of building out a center of excellence with governance, a governance framework, and also the ability to showcase how much time have you saved back to the business stakeholders. Also remediation efforts. You know, are we remediating issues with the integrity of the data as a result of this automation? So there's a wide variety of metrics that you can map out, and those help you to tell the compelling story of how you have transitioned the workforce from a somewhat automated or minimally automated workforce to a fundamentally automation first mindset.
Yeah, beautiful, right? And some of the things you just took us through there, I mean, there's some really great nuggets in there, right? So of course, at the beginning of it, it's getting that executive leadership support. And then really it's about taking the people along for the journey, right? Because many people make the mistake that automation's not involving people. We're really, people are at the heart of this automation journey, because really what we're trying to do is we're trying to help them do more with less, right? So I think there's some great lessons that you conveyed there. And then the next one was around about choosing your RPA provider very carefully, right? And I think, quoting from that article, I think you said it's not about just choosing a provider, it's about choosing an automation partner. And I think I'll go on just to read some of the quotes from that article. You said, whatever your growth objectives, you need to ensure you start with a robust and capable RPA platform that can incorporate additional competencies around machine learning, OCR, data analytics, and visualization, chatbots, and more. This forms the foundation of your scalable solution, and the extent to which levering additional tool sets succeeds or fails and scaling is based upon deploying more of these solutions. And that all depends on choosing the right platform. So it's often a question we get asked, right? Because obviously there's a variety of different pieces of technology that are out there on the market, specifically in the intelligent automation space. What are some of the key considerations that you think people need to think about when choosing the right platform for their journey?
Yes, the right platform is absolutely essential. And it's important to, again, to have a vendor who is willing to go on this journey with you, this journey of digital transformation. And in terms of choosing that vendor, it's very important to understand where your business stands today. So what areas in particular are you looking to transform? Where are you planning on starting within your firm in relation to your business stakeholders? And where would you like to go eventually? Are you looking to always be sort of an IT function, or are you really looking to also engage in upskilling your business stakeholders to learn how to build their own automations? Because depending on which variation of that workflow you'd like to complete, there are different providers that speak very differently to those capabilities. So if you're looking to launch more of a citizen developer program, whereby you would upskill your business stakeholders who may not be as technically savvy, they're not your technology SMEs, for example, there are different tools that are going to be able to provide you with that ability better than others. Versus if you are willing, if you're looking for the establishment of a program that is more centered around skilled RPA developers, developers by trade, there are some tools that that are easier for that practice. So I think first it's what are you looking to achieve? Are you looking to have a developer, an RPA developer, launch your program and be the foundation of your program? Would you like to upskill citizen developers, or are you looking for a hybrid, a bit of both? You want some citizen developers and a tool that is easily managed and learned by citizens or business users, but you also want something that is very robust that can handle those enterprise wide end-to-end, maybe multi-systems, maybe interfacing with SaaS systems and legacy systems. You want something that can speak to that. So that's number one, what are you trying to achieve? I think the second piece is, how mature is that tool? How mature is that vendor's offering? And most importantly for me, I'm very, very interested in the product roadmap. So every single year, I'm interested in understanding how is this vendor continuing to push the envelope in relation to the functionality that they offer within the platform out of the box. And in addition, what is their, the platform roadmap gives you a great vision for where the company, where that vendor is heading, where their vision is going to land. And there are vendors where just by looking at their product roadmap, you can really see the direction that they are planning to take the product in. And by that, you're able to see the functionality that you as a COE leader would look forward to not only this year, but, you know, 2 to 3 to 5 years in the future.
Yeah, beautiful, right? And again, I mean, I think one of the technology platforms we work with is UiPath. And speaking to some of that, I mean, I just love their roadmap and the velocity at which they're releasing new features and functionalities that are truly vital and key components of the intelligent automation journey. So I get excited every time I get a new email from the Insiders channel and I'm like, oh, there's some new stuff, and I'm a bit of a tech head, so I love playing with all of this stuff. But it's a really key part because it kind of shows you what the art of the possible is and where the market's going and some of the things you need to start thinking about. Some of the other things you mentioned there was really about focusing on the outcome, right? And I think that's one of the key things, because at the beginning, depending on what you might be looking to do and how you need to evolve the organization that you're in, it's really about actually figuring out what that outcome is and then mapping the plan back on how you're actually going to get to that outcome. And that takes into account many things like the platform you choose or the approach that you're going to take. Is that a citizen developer approach, or is that a more a developer approach, and all of those wonderful things you alluded to there. So Sydney, one thing I'm keen to hear from you, right? Many people measure the success of their intelligent automation programs in different ways. How do you measure success in intelligent automation programs?
Yes. Yeah, so in relation to metrics, so some of the things that I typically like to measure, there's a couple of different ways to go about it. The first step is really to look at from a technology aspect, or from, I should say, from a platform aspect, what would you like to measure? Would you like to understand the performance metrics of your robots? How successful are the runs? Are they failing consistently? Or are there certain times of day where they are failing consistently? And that really allows you to have better troubleshooting capabilities. And at the end of the day, our number one goal is to make sure that anything that we have in production remains in production and doesn't go down. So making sure that we understand the metrics of the platform is very critical to the success, just the overall success of the program. The second piece of the puzzle is looking at, okay, what are my returns from transitioning this business process from a manual process into an automated process? And typically there are two elements to look at. The first element is really looking at, what is my time savings? So when I look at the manual process, how many business SMEs were involved in this business process when it was manual? How often did it take them to complete an end-to-end transaction? And how many transactions were they processing, whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, or quarterly? And the next piece of that puzzle is, now that I know how long it takes for the manual process, I'm looking at the automated process, and I'm doing a comparison between those exact same attributes. So how many robots does it take me to complete this process? How much time does it take for one end-to-end run? And when I look at how many transactions the bot can process, what is the volume there when I look at it daily, weekly, monthly, or quarterly? And that comparison of the time frame of the manual processing, the amount of resources necessary to produce that amount of transactions versus the automated process, that gives us a great understanding of how we've been able to gain time, basically savings from the automation of that project. And then the next piece for us is going to be looking at how do we actually measure the complete amount of runs, which is going to be your full population, and looking at, in terms of every successful run, how much time are we gaining back for the business?
Yeah, beautiful, right? And we often talk to our customers about how many hours or minutes or that metric of how much time we've actually saved them, because once we can save people from that tedious, mundane, and repetitive work, that obviously frees them up to perform that higher value work where they can be creative, use their great intuition as a human, figure out better ways to do things. And it's really, really a key metric in terms of what we encourage our customers to measure. So it's great to hear you're echoing that on that side. Just going back to that interview, right? So in that interview, you were asked, what are the three tips to ensuring your intelligent automation program is scalable? And your first response was, start small with the proof of concept and assess the impact in one area. This is really an exercise to understand how to address business problems and pain points and how to orchestrate the partnership with business stakeholders and subject matter experts. And I really love that approach. So can you share with us a little bit more about kind of how you've used that approach and kind of what you choose to get started generally in organizations that you work with?
Yes, this is a key point where I have seen a lot of different stakeholders really struggle to adopt RPA, primarily because the first use cases or the business unit that is chosen for the POC is basically not the optimal choice. And as a result, they typically lose the momentum and lose interest in really starting up a center of excellence. So I typically start with a proof of concept. And this is really, there are a couple of reasons why you would start with the proof of concept versus just standing up a brand new global program. So first, it's really looking at, I want to see the aspects of the change management, both from an infrastructure side that are necessary, but I also want to see the people aspect. Humans, as we know, are generally pretty resistant to change. So you have to really understand the culture internally within your company, whether you sit on the business side or the IT side, and understanding, how do I introduce this change? There's a lot of fear, a lot of resistance around robotics. There's a lot of fear about jobs being lost. And there's definitely some people management and change management within that particular area to make sure that your adoption will be strong. A lot of programs struggle because the employees basically do not buy into the launch and this particular automation. So understanding the culture that you exist within your company can go a really long way in helping you to understand how you establish that trust in the automation, in the power of what your center of excellence is looking to do, and trusting your team as well, trusting the resources that you hire on, whether it's a third-party vendor or provider, or it is, they are internal resources, you need your internal teams to really trust the Center of Excellence is there to help and to facilitate this digital transformation. And then I think the second piece of that really goes a long way towards understanding, be very, very careful about the first use cases that you select. Quite often we see companies reaching for the very high ROI projects, but those projects also are extremely complex. And you don't want to introduce your proof of concept for robotic process automation and that first foray into intelligent automation with an extremely complex use case or set of complex use cases. Start small, start with the low-hanging fruit. Am I able to automate this low complexity, low risk process? If so, okay. Can I have a second stage where I automate something that is a bit more complex, a medium complexity, maybe still low risk, depending on the sign-off that you've received from your internal risk and compliance teams. And then from there, you would start building up the momentum and the steam, and again, the trust from the different leadership teams within your company to say, okay, now we can start branching off and we can start looking at maybe end-to-end processes that are cross-functional, processes that may have a financial impact to the firm. But by basically escalating slowly towards the more critical, more high complexity processes, you allow yourself that agile mindset and the ability to fail gracefully, right? And to learn from failing within the process.
Yeah, what great advice in that, right? And it reminds me of one of my favorite Simon Sinek quotes. And the quote goes, what good is an idea if it remains an idea? Try, experiment, iterate, fail, try again, change the world, right? And I think some of the nuggets of information you left the listeners with there is really, really great, right? And one of the things we do is we do this thing called a proof of value pack. And we call it the 10-day proof of value pack, where it's exactly that. It's kind of designed to obviously take people on the initial parts of this journey, where instead of talking about what we can do, we actually deliver something. And again, we might choose something that's not the biggest ROI, but something that's going to introduce them into the world of intelligent automation, focus on the outcome, bring those people along for the journey, make sure that they get comfortable with this type of technology and how it's going to help them out. And what that leads to is the business loves it. And most importantly, the CFO loves it, because it's kind of a scoped down version of actually getting a start into the world of intelligent automation. So again, really nice just to hear you echoing some of those things and how you've used that on your side. So Sydney, onto scaling, right? So if we get started and we get going in kind of a small kind of proof of concept or proof of value, obviously the next part is then to scale that out. And let's look at what can derail that scaling process. So what types of things do you think can actually derail that scaling process for organizations?
Absolutely. The first thing I would say is setting targets that are too ambitious for a year one program. Make sure that you set realistic targets for what your program can achieve in year one. And I say that because keeping in mind that typically year one is where you are laying down the foundation, whether that's the infrastructure that you need to set up for the, depending on which vendor you choose, to the governance framework that will dictate how, in what ways your program will manage and function within the enterprise, but then also within your particular smaller organization. And then there's also the piece of ensuring that you understand the resourcing and the funding aspect. And that this goes a long way, again, with telling the story to your senior leaders to get the necessary buy-in for the resources that you need. And understanding that in year one, more than likely, that investment will be probably the smallest investment that the company will make within the program. So that scaling effort, as you look from year one to say year five, year one typically is going to be primarily focused on the vendor relationship, building out your infrastructure, and starting to complete your resourcing in terms of whether you pair with a service provider or you go the route of hiring full-time developers. So easing into that year one and remembering that year one is all about setting up the framework. If you set up the framework properly, the rest of the scaling will go a lot smoother as you go into year two and beyond. The next hurdle that I see a lot of centers of excellence hitting, this is probably in year one as well, is really adoption. And you have to make sure that you are very, very strong on your internal marketing, meaning, again, managing the people aspect, right? How you talk about robots, how you talk about the gains that you're going to see from the robots. How do you make sure that your employees do not feel threatened by this automation, that they embrace the automation? How do you get employees to trust the center of excellence and start actually bringing you opportunities, right? So we see a lot of centers of excellence go wrong here, just based on the way that they position the verbiage and the way that they position the purpose of the center of excellence. So you have to be very careful about how you present the purpose of the center of excellence and how you encourage adoption of the center of excellence and the ways of working and really getting your internal teams excited to use this technology. And we often don't speak about it enough, but the excitement is absolutely necessary to make sure that you have the appropriate buy-in. And again, to make sure that you have a full body of work, that you have other teams that are really interested in seeing how the automation works, really interested in bringing you use cases. If you don't build up that groundswell of support, it becomes increasingly harder as time moves forward to gain the support of the stakeholders that are around you. And at the end of the day, we are focused on automating business processes and bringing value back to the business through these automations. So we absolutely rely on the support of our business stakeholders to drive us forward and to keep the momentum and the excitement going internally. And then I think the third and final piece is having a vision. So we quite often talk about, you know, the artificial intelligence piece and the OCR piece and the chatbots. That is absolutely critical. It's critical to have that vision of where you want to be in 2, 3, 4 to 5 years. It's also critical to have a definitive roadmap of how you plan to get there based on how your organization is structured, but to also keep that somewhat flexible. You want to, nothing goes as planned, as we all know. And it's important to make sure that the framework is somewhat flexible to allow for maybe impact to an existing budget. Maybe there is a reorg of some sort that happens. So you have to, your roadmap has to be relatively flexible where it's not going to be horribly impacted by those significant changes should they occur along the way. But you also want to make sure that, again, when we talk about that excitement, that you're tying the roadmap, your roadmap as an intelligent automation center of excellence, back into the overall objectives of the company. I think this is absolutely critical. And one of the ways you may end up having issues is if the mission of the Intelligent Automation Center of Excellence seems completely disconnected from the mission of the firm. So you want to make sure that you are tying back what you are doing, how you are doing it, why you are doing it, back to the overall objectives of the company, whether that's on a quarterly basis, annual basis. I typically do both. I typically also do a long-term kind of five-year plan based on where the company is going, how the program would actually mature out. And this goes a long way, again, to show that your senior leadership, that this program is an integral component of the value that the entire company is delivering. And that's absolutely critical. Again, if you want to see success as you start to scale, you have to find a way to illustrate that the value that the Intelligent Automation Center of Excellence is providing is beneficial to the firm in a wide variety of ways. And then I would say last but not least, the final piece of the puzzle is really helping everyone, whether it's senior leadership, whether it is business, whether it's business stakeholders, to believe in, we always hear about the art of the possible. I talk a lot about the art of the impossible, which is what are the things that today as a firm we believe are absolutely impossible to accomplish. Now, let's take those things and let's actually make those impossible goals or objectives, let's make those more tangible and realistically something that we could actually achieve. And that goes a long way, again, to help promote the Center of Excellence, but also goes a long way to help really amplify how this technology truly is advancing organizations as a whole versus just a solitary business unit.
Yeah. Yeah, some amazing things you said there. And the first thing I really loved is the art of the impossible, right? I really like that because we often do talk about the art of the possible, but you're quite right. What is the art of the impossible? And the other thing you mentioned there is around that excitement aspect, right? And it's something that we focus on quite a lot here. And we have this fun delivery methodology we call From Bright Idea to Automation Champagne. And really that ties into obviously taking our customers along for that intelligent automation journey and focusing on the outcome and really keeping them excited, because there is nothing better once you get an automation live and you start to personalize these robots and people have got Mike, Jim or Jeff working or whatever they decide to call their bots. And the excitement they have on their faces when they see these bots taking care of the tedious, mundane, repetitive tasks is really something amazing to see. And what we do is we actually celebrate that with what we call automation champagne, which is celebrating the success of that automation of getting it up and running. So yeah, just some great things again there from your side. So Sydney, moving on a little bit, right? You've obviously worked for some amazing organizations, BNY Mellon, E-Trade, Spotify now, and you've been integral in setting up some of these intelligent automation practices. I mean, I'm keen to talk about, do you have a specific blueprint in terms of the citizen development side of things and the center of excellence side of things? I mean, how do you approach things when you get started with these different organizations?
Yes, that's a great question. From the citizen development side, it's very interesting. It comes back to the change management aspect, but it also comes back to the proof of concept as well. So starting small, again, I think that is my blueprint for success. Starting with a single business unit, starting with individuals who are willing to be early adopters of the technology, being able to demonstrate your proficiency as a technology leader in this specific segment of the market, and being able to relay that effectively to your business stakeholders, that I believe is the foundation. And once you go from there, the next piece of the puzzle is the vision, being able to think outside of the box. I really rely heavily on thinking of unique ways to leverage these technologies. And then the third piece of the blueprint, I would say, is again, that art of the impossible, and also really creating a very agile and dynamic team. That's something I'm very passionate about. And I do think it has been an integral part of the blueprint of my success. I look for exactly the types of individuals that will help to achieve the points that I've laid out before. Individuals who will think outside of the box, developers who are really keen to and really passionate about the technology, about the ways that the technology is transforming business, and also really excited about where the technology is going, what the future product roadmap is, and the future capabilities that we may not have access to today. And then also the dynamic of the team and really looking at building out a high performing team that is able to address the demands of the business, but to also rise to the occasion to create those really bespoke ways of addressing various business challenges.
Yeah, beautiful, right? And I love that combination of the approach, right? So that combination of the citizen-led development and then the Intelligent Automation Center of Excellence. And often people refer to that as the automation flywheel, right? And what we mean by that automation flywheel, it's the combination of the bottom-up and the top-down processes. So bottom-up refers to these citizen developers creating their own automations. And the top-down process refers to the Intelligent Automation Center of Excellence rolling out processes for the organization. And really what the automation flywheel is that it's that pattern that describes how the consumption of automation leads to new ideas for automation and ultimately the creation of automations by end users that feed the program and spin that flywheel even faster. And really that's what I love, right? It's about human software bots working together, some people creating their own automations, some of our center of excellence creating some of those automations, but really achieving hyper automation through that automation flywheel. So talking about citizen developers, I know that you have something very exciting in the pipeline in terms of a new book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. I am very excited. I've actually had word that my book is coming out sooner than I expected. So I had the great privilege of working with several other developers and industry leaders, specifically on a book that really tackles the world of citizen development. And more specifically, we were looking at Studio X, UiPath Studio X, which is a low-code, no-code platform, which allows business users to really take on automation of various business functions. And so the goal of the book from our standpoint as authors, we wanted it to be a very hands-on guide, which would actually drive anyone from a business perspective to feel a bit less apprehensive about being able to tackle building out an automation on UiPath Studio X. So it's very hands-on. It has very simple exercises, but they are extremely detailed. And we go into everything from Excel functions to Word functions. There's just a wide variety of things that we have automated within the exercises. And the goal is that you can actually use the book truly as a hands-on guide to actually walk step by step on through, for instance, how to automate macros within an Excel spreadsheet with UiPath Studio X. So it's very practical. It's much less, it is not based on more the theoretical, which a lot of the books are talking more so just about kind of the premise of governance and things like that around RPA. It's very hands-on and meant to be a guide that will actually help walk you through accomplishing your first or second automation leveraging UiPath Studio X. And the book is at several hundred pages of just a lot of different exercises, and it's coming out in March of this year of 2021, and it's called Robotic Process Automation Using UiPath Studio X, and it is a citizen developer's guide to hyper automation.
Oh, I'm very excited for this, right? So I'm a very, I love the whole citizen developer side of the intelligent automation picture. And one of the things we do is we run these things called Build a Bot workshops, where we take typical business users and within a 2-hour session, we get them to build their first bot, right? And it's a bot that interacts with Outlook and Excel and web-based systems. And the most recent one we did is we took 23 business users, and from zero to a working bot, we got them all to create a bot in 2 hours. And then what we do is we leave those tools with them for a couple of weeks, and we give them evaluation licenses for those tools. And then we ask them to go and actually create their own bots around a business scenario that they have inside their environment. And then we get them 2 weeks later to present that bot back to us. And then what we do is we have a little competition and keep it a little bit fun. But some of the things those citizen developers manage to create truly amaze me every single time we run them. And I'm very excited about the Citizen Developer Revolution. Why I'm very excited about your book is because we often give away prizes at the end of these sessions, and we will definitely be including some of those books in the goodie bags for some of the winners of that competition, because I think it's going to be a great resource for them to use in their intelligent automation journey.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And it is available today on pre-order across various platforms, Amazon and the like. But we really are very excited about this body of work. And we truly hope, to your point, that everyone who leverages the book can actually build, get the satisfaction and the excitement of being able to automate, whether they're automating a UI, whether they're automating a PowerPoint or an email interaction, but being able to really understand the development lifecycle. How do you build, test, and actually execute these automation tasks with UiPath Studio X? And also, how do you really make sure that you understand the programming techniques that are already built into the platform that can help you seamlessly deploy your robot?
Yeah, brilliant. I cannot wait to get my hands on it and have a look through. So I will definitely be going and pre-ordering that as soon as we finish on this session today. Sydney, so great. So now we're at the start of 2021, right? So it's always a good time to ask people if they have any specific predictions for the upcoming year, or if there's anything specific that they might be really excited about. So do you have any predictions for the year, or anything that might be that you're really excited about that's going to come to the forefront in 2021?
I do. I believe that there are a lot of entities that are gearing up to attempt to rapidly scale an existing intelligent automation footprint, or to quickly introduce intelligent automation into their company based on a lot of the occurrences going on around the world in terms of remote work. So it's a really interesting pivot that the workforce has completed over the course of 2020, which I believe is going to continue into 2021. And I think that there are some really incredible opportunities, specifically in relation to the ways that we work today, that will be addressed by intelligent automation in 2021 and beyond. And I think one of the biggest pieces of that, I believe we're going to also see a lot of movement in relation to the vendor marketplace, specific to mergers, and I think also more specific to platforms that are becoming more and more resilient and offering more pieces of the hyper automation puzzle, meaning rather than having a standalone OCR engine, building standalone machine learning engines, and then having also a robotic process automation solution, I believe we're going to see more vendors that are combining the functionality, right? So you have one holistic approach in one platform to address hyper automation and digital transformation within your firm.
Yeah, certainly going to be a very exciting year as always, right, in the intelligent automation space. We look forward to seeing how it unfolds, and most importantly, how it helps people still with, I guess, the remote working and all of those things that we've become so familiar with over the last year. So Sydney, I really want to thank you for your time. And just before we leave today, are there any final parting thoughts or comments you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I think my final thought would be, believe in the power of automation, believe in the power of your teams to become advocates internally for kind of a digital revolution within your firm. And remember that this technology is extremely accessible. I think that's the biggest piece of the conversation that I hope everyone walks away with, is the citizen developer movement is only going to grow stronger as we move into 2021 and beyond. And it really speaks a lot to the accessibility of this technology, that we can actually leverage this to upskill business users and to make them more aware of the capabilities that they can have to build their own automations. So I hope that if this conversation leaves you with nothing else, that you feel that these technologies are more accessible for the average business user, and that we no longer have to pigeonhole these specific to technology SMEs. And then again, I really would love to hear any feedback that anyone has about the Citizen Developer Handbook. And that again comes out in March of 2021.
Excellent. What a great way to finish up. And I couldn't have summarized it better. We often say it's no longer about if you're going to automate, it's really about when you're going to automate, and when can be today. So Sydney, I want to say a huge thank you from all of us here at the Automation Alliance podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you for taking the time and sharing your invaluable insights with our listeners and the Automation Alliance community.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Be part of the community and join the Automation Alliance at www.automationalliance.com.